Going back. Sorry. Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, I was at Sterling Funeral Home getting ready for visitation. My phone goes.
Sign. Listen to my cry for help. By the way, the prayer time, I thought you were going to preach my sermon. Okay? Listen to my cry for help. My King and my God, to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait with an expectation. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. You are with you, the wicked cannot dwell, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. But I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence I will bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Your heart is filled with destruction. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them from their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them forever sing for joy. Remember that phrase too. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor, with a shield. Now, tip over to, go over to Psalm 57. Two verses to Psalm 57. My heart is steadfast. Verse 7. O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, O my soul. Awake, heart and treble, heart and lyre. And I will awaken you. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing among you, the people. Here's the thing. I'm going to talk about the conditions of the heart. You may be seated. The conditions of the heart. David had just killed Goliath. And being praised by all the people of Israel. They were just holding him up in praise and just giving him glory and just all these good things. But King Saul turned against him and was looking to kill David. So David was hiding in a cave. And with him, there was 400 men. And these 400 men that was in the cave with him were as in bad a shape as David was. But in the midst of this, In this very dark cave came a shout of victory and praise. We talked about, we heard some things, we heard some praises, but we heard some difficulty things and stuff. And I want to talk to you about three things today. The first thing is, David had a sign in his heart. What does that mean? Psalm 5, verse 1, it is a sign in his heart. You see, it's a cry for help. It's a request. We talked about sharing requests, sharing concerns. Did you know it's okay to do that? This is yes, this is no. It's okay to do that. You're allowed to sigh and cry for help to the Lord. It's important that you know that. I don't do Greek. Don't do Hebrew. I don't do that. But in the Greek or in the Hebrew, it means a deep groaning. The Hebrew word is for a group or of people or an individual asking for God's intervention in their time of trouble. This was David. God knew David's troubles. He knows your troubles. He knows where you are. He knows your heartache. He knows your pain. You see, you know, I don't fuss at me. It's okay. There are preachers that say, if you're a Christian, it's, you know, woo, we're all good. No. The Bible says there's going to come a time, there'll be times of difficulty and hardship. That's part of who we are. You're going to face those. I've had cancer. My wife's had it twice. My mom died of COPD and never smoked a day in life. My dad died of cancer. You see, that's part of that's part of life. And those difficult times are going to come in our lives. But God knows the trouble. And he had an answer. No matter the hardships, the battles, or the situation, your signs, your cries for help, your requests will be heard. Praise his holy name. Oh, by the way, in case you don't know this, I'm a Nazarene. Been a Nazarene all my life. And if you say amen, it won't scare me. Just let you be aware of that. If you say praise the Lord, I won't fall backwards. Just let you be aware of that. You can say amen. He had a sign in his heart. But you see, your signs, your cries for help, your requests will be heard. It's interesting to me, because I've been in the ministry all my life. I'll be 70 this month, and I've been doing this for 51 years. I get calls all the time from people. Brother Hodge, would you pray for me? Brother Hodge, could you come by and pray with me? They understand where the help's coming from. It's not me. It's the God that I serve. That's who it is. That's who's helping. That's who's getting through that difficulty, that hardship. I had a young man call me not long ago. And if you could pray for him, he's one of our EMTs, and they had their home burned down last summer. It burned to the ground. And then this year, he's been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. I have not heard. He had the surgery done Thursday, and I've not heard. They were supposed to, but I'm sure he hasn't had a chance. But I've not heard from them how things have come out. But he needs your prayers. But he called me. The moment he found out, he called me. Can you pray for me? I'm the unofficial chaplain with EMS, and they've had three very difficult situations here lately. And every time they have one of those real bad calls, they call me. And I go out and see them. And I go out and pray with them and spend time with them. One day I spent all day with them. They had the death of a child. And that's just, you know why? Because they know that the God I serve and the God I pray to hears that concern and knows where the answer is at. Amen?
Amen.
Good. You're going to learn. He had a sign in his heart. Second thing about David was he had a steadfast heart. Look over here in Psalm 57, verse 7. My heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is steadfast. What does that mean? He was fixed, unwavering, committed, resolutely firm. In spite of his dilemma, in spite of the darkness, in spite of his despair, his heart was steadfast, loving and serving God. Are you there yet? This is yes. Steadfast. In spite of your hardships, your heart is steadfast. He knew God was still on the throne. Amen? He's still there. And we got a text. What is today? Today's Sunday. Thursday, I got a text from a friend of mine. She's in her late 70s. And she texts me. She said, I can't go into details, but I want you to pray for this, 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 this. No details. Just there was a situation in her life. She's praying for a family that was in very dire straits. And then this is why I text her back. I said, God's still on the throne, and he's still in control. And that's what David's saying here. His heart was steadfast. He knew God was still on the throne. Over in Acts, chapter 20, verse 20. Look what it says here. This is Paul writing. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. I have declared to you, to both Jews and Greeks, that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, knowing not what will happen to me. I only know that it is in every city that the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life nothing, but I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. This is implying that Paul was going to steadfastly go to Jerusalem. Set his face. I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit. And even though he's being warned, Paul was steadfast. In the verse where it says, not knowing what will happen. Now, you probably haven't experienced too much of this, but me being in the ministry all my life, and my wife, she's so excited. We were living in Ohio, and suddenly I said, we're going to Virginia. And we moved to Virginia. And I was a youth pastor there for a year. And we were sitting, and then after about a year, we were sitting in the living room, and things had changed dramatically at the church we were at. They changed pastors, and they changed, anyway. And so I thought, and I was sitting in the living room, and I was praying one afternoon, I thought, I need to go to the Bible college, which was in Colorado. So Marcia came in, and I said, Marcia, I'm praying about going to the Bible college in Colorado Springs. Okay. Steadfast. I didn't know what lied ahead of me. I had no idea what was going to be there. But that night on the news, this was in June the 10th, tell you what day it was, we're watching the news, and Marcia says, we're going there. Yeah. They got 12 inches of snow in June the 10th. And we're going to Colorado. We had no idea what lied ahead. Can I tell you this, though? When we arrived in Colorado Springs, or when we arrived in Colorado Springs, I didn't have a place to live. Didn't have a job. Nothing. But you know, God provided every single thing for us the 3 years we lived there. Every single thing. We never went without. Why? Because you're steadfast. And you don't worry about what's going to happen. Even though sometimes my mother said, oh, please don't move to Colorado. Moms do. He was warned of prison and hardships that faced him. But he still finished the race and completed the task given him. We as Christians, not only does God hear our signs, but he wants to know that we're going to be steadfast in our walk with him. What song did we sing earlier? What was the song we just sang? I've decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me. I thought, man, that's appropriate for today. Steadfast. No matter what it is, we're going to follow Christ. We're going to follow his command. We're going to be in, let him lead us the way. Well, then, not only did he have a sign in his heart and a steadfast heart, and this is my favorite part. I don't sing very well, but I love to sing. People see me driving down the road, and my mouth's just going all the time. I'm singing on the radio. I love to sing. And it says he had a song in his heart. Verses 7 and 9 and chapter 5, verse 11. He kept this song of praise, rejoicing. Talks about songs. Talks about singing. And we have to have that song in our heart no matter what. It's not easy. Not easy to give praise to God all the time. Do you think the day I found out that my wife had cancer, I was praising God? Tough, but I will tell you this, throughout that time we need to give God praise because his hand was in her life. She missed one day of work, one day, 35 treatments. She missed one day of work. That's your fault. You made her late. Seriously, think about that for a minute. And I think about the fact that I had cancer, and I preached right on. I was able to go ahead. I missed a few days of preaching. You see, God says he puts a song in our heart. Praise in spite of problems. That's a great phrase. I wrote that down. Praise in spite of problems. In Isaiah 61:3, it says, he gives us a garment of praise instead of a garment of despair. I've been by the bedside of many people. When I was chaplain at the nursing home, before that when I was pastoring as a chaplain with an EMS, I've been by the bedside of many, many families. And at the point of death, families were singing praise. And you say, really? Oh, yeah, I've seen it. One family out here at the nursing home, I remember very vividly, they called me, you need to come in. This resident's dying. So as I was coming down the hall, I could hear, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound has saved a wretch like me. And they were just singing, whole family, whole room full of family, singing Amazing Grace. And as they finished that second verse, their mother went from this life to the next. Praise. Praise. in Acts chapter 16, and I told you I was going to get my phone out. Because this is Acts 16, verse 23. Paul and Silas have been arrested and put in prison. Remember that story? Okay? Listen, I'm going to read it in several different translations. This is what happened to them. After striking them many, many times with rods, they threw them in prison. Having received such a strict command, he threw them in inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks in an agonizing position. That'll make you want to sing. And when they inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them in prison. They were severely beaten. This is a different translation of the same verse. After they had been severely flogged, you know what flogged is, don't you? They take a whip it's called a cat of nine tails, has pieces of rock and metal and stuff, and they whip them with it, and it takes the hide right off their backs. After being flogged, you know, they were fastened in an inner cell and fastened in their... they had been badly beaten. Now, I said all that to say this. Then, in Acts 16, if you don't get blessed about this, nothing will bless you. Acts 16, then it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and doing what? Singing hymns. Giving praise. Now they've just been beaten, locked up, and they were singing hymns. Now I have a question. Where does that song come from? You see, I remember when Marcia's dad was dying, we were called to Indiana, and we was up there, and then we was in the hospital room, and the nurse and the doctor said, you know, he's better. Why don't you guys get some sleep? You've been here for a couple of days. Go get some rest. So Marcia and I got in the motel room, and she went back to her mom's house or to their apartment so she could drive her mom. I went back to the motel. And that was about 11:30. At 1:30, my phone rings, and it's the hospital that you need to come back. So I know Marcia's got the call too. So I head back to the hospital. As I'm coming down the hallway, I'm going down the hallway, and I looked in your handbook, and this song wasn't in there, so I had to look it up on my phone. The nurse for my father-in-law, who was a minister for almost 50 years. Actually, more than 50 years. Was singing this song. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Where's that song come from? How can you sing that kind of a song? His presence, in spite of the problems, His presence, in spite of the darkness, joy is not the absence of trouble, but it's the presence of Christ. That's where it comes from. William Vanderhaven is the one that's made that quote. Joy is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ. I have a question for you. Do you ever cry for help today? Is there something going on in your life that you need God to help you with? Is there a sign? I'm going to tell you this, God's heard it. He knows it. Is your heart steadfast? Unwavering? Resolutely firm and committed to the call upon your life that God's given to you? Is there a song in your heart in spite of all that's gone on, that has happened, is happening, and even could happen? We don't know about the future. I'm here right now with you, and I might never even get back here. Have no clue. We're here. My mom's favorite song. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And I want to tell you this. I love my mother. She's gone now in the presence of her Savior. But she couldn't sing a lick. I mean, not one. She couldn't carry a tune, not in a bag or a bucket or a well. She had a terrible voice. But my mom sang this song. With great joy. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. David knew his God, and he cried out with great signs. He had a steadfastness in his promises, and he had that praise in his heart. How about you today? Where are you at this morning? What can God do for you today? He wants to meet your need, and he wants to hear your song of praise today. Let's stand together, please.